What's up, everybody? I'm back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast, where I've got a very special guest, Dr. Jack Cruz, here, and he has helped Orange Pill Bukele, Nayib Bukele, the president of El Salvador. He's also helped in discussions with Jack Maulers and very other influential people in the Bitcoin space. He has moved down to El Salvador to help bring decentralized medicine to El Salvador as well. So it's a very interesting conversation. He's a very interesting guy. He's talked to a lot of people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and a bunch of other people too. So it's a little bit different compared to the macro stock real estate kind of conversation that I have, but it's affiliated with the Bitcoin space in a very different way. And I enjoyed this conversation so much. So I think that you guys will enjoy it too. Also, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. Spread the good word of the State of Bitcoin podcast to you and your friends. Lastly, please remember this is not financial advice. Everything you hear in this podcast is not financial advice and is strictly the opinion of Dr. Jack and myself. And big shout out to my sponsors. Shout out to Hodlers Official. That's HODLERS official.com. They're having a big Black Friday sale with 21% off. And then if you use promo code GreenKindle, you'll get an additional 5% off. And you can use all that towards getting one of the best Bitcoin jerseys in the game, the sickest Bitcoin merch that is possibly out there. And I'm telling you, when I walk this around, I always get compliments. So you should be able to get yourself one of these Genesis packs and you get it for 26% off. Are you kidding me? You should do that as soon as you can possibly do that. And shout out to Sovereign Energy. That's SVRNenergy.com. You can use promo code GreenCandle, get 10% off your entire order. And when you rip up the label of every single one, you get sats back. So not only am I giving you 10% off, you are getting sats back on every single energy drink that you drink. So no matter what you get, 12 pack, 24 pack, multiple, whatever, you are getting sats back on every single one of you drink and you get 10% off. So it seems like a no-brainer. What are you doing? Drink Sovereign Energy and get a jersey at hodlersofficial.com. All right, now let's get into the episode.
Bing bong. I am back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast, where I've got a very special guest. I've got Dr. Jack Cruz here, who's making waves about all of his claims on, personal health and personal responsibility, taking all of that and really becoming the sovereign individual and kind of connecting that with the Bitcoin space. So, Dr. Jack Cruz, how you doing today, man?
Pretty good.
Awesome. Well, I got introduced to you and through your work through my time in El Salvador at adopting Bitcoin. So I appreciate everything you've done for that region and everything like that. But I think it's very interesting because, you know, a lot of your stuff is more on almost like I would call it the biohacking side of things and kind of the longevity of, how humans have evolved and, the current update of technology. And obviously with, the new and exciting world of Bitcoin, everybody's kind of diving into the technology field where you're almost saying take a step back and, get out in the sun, do those kind of things. So I guess, what do you think is the most important thing that somebody can do in a sense to kind of get started with, your work and, almost in a sense, start the biohacking and kind of revert back to the mean, so to speak?
Yeah, I don't think I would disagree with your characterization of my work. I think my work fundamentally is about decentralized networks. That's actually what mitochondrial biology is about. It's what nature's about, and it's what Bitcoin's about. And when you begin to understand that basically Bitcoin is a clock, just as the supercosmatic nucleus in your eye is a clock, and you need to truly get the perspective that a clock is basically a thermal machine that creates the illusion of time. In Bitcoin, most people know that's the proof of work mechanism, and it's a time ledger. I think in the Bitcoin community, nobody would argue with that point. The interesting thing is when you look at the biology side, this is where it gets complicated for people in biology, especially Bitcoiners who are really not well versed in biology. You have to look at like mitochondria like an engine, and the clocks that control that engine harness the flow of energy to do work. That's the proof of work mechanism there. And in that process, they produce an exhaust in that process. And that energy that's used, it's to propel, to make the clocks tick. And it turns out the more the clock ticks, the more periodicity it has. And the exhaust in living cells, I think most people know, is CO2 and water, because that reverses the process of photosynthesis. That's the really counterintuitive issue. And, you know, in Bitcoin, people always talk about entropy. Very few people in centralized biology are talking about entropy, but in decentralized biology and decentralized medicine, the things that I'm trying to do here in El Salvador, that's all we focus in about. We focus in on the genome inside the cells that actually are linked to this clock mechanism. And in that sense, I think Bitcoiners have been drawn to my message for this issue. And then I think the big thing that's happened, you know, just recently, part of the reason I wasn't at Adopting Bitcoin, I got to El Salvador yesterday, is I've been doing some work with the Bukele administration behind the scenes on medical freedoms. And medical freedoms are the next step. In fact, there I would allow you to use your characterization of my work, that I'm actually biohacking medical freedoms, you know, talking to people like the president of El Salvador. And now, you know, you just heard me talk with Rick Rubin and Bobby Kennedy about medical freedoms and the state of affairs, you know, post-COVID. Why? Because COVID is one of those things that highlights the need to understand why decentralized networks are really important, you know, not only in nature and biology, but I generally don't have to convince people how important they are in Bitcoin. The only people that I think don't get that are probably the shitcoiners. But to be honest with you, I use a via negativa approach with shitcoiners. I basically think they're superfluous. So I don't even really target them. I don't talk with them. And even when they ask me questions on Twitter, I kind of do what evolution does. I just extinguish them by blocking.
Yeah. And I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I mean, I guess I use the term biohacking, but a lot of your work, from what I understand, is, I guess, not even, I don't even know if that's a good characterization, because generally speaking, what I've would think biohacking is something like taking some sort of supplement or something like that, where yours
that's
is
what I'm saying. I'm totally against that. And I would tell
exactly.
You, the people that are in the biohacking community are people that I consider biological shitcoiners. You know, that would be like the people in the carnivore community, the people in the paleo community, the people that sell supplements like through their chiropractic practice, naturopathic doctors, functional medicine. Not that I have a problem with everything they do. I'm just going to tell you that that paradigm is exactly the same problem that they have with the allopathic paradigm. Like, say if, you know, your primary care doctor writes you a prescription for statins, they are very good about throwing that doctor under the bus, but they're not very good about telling you that the glutathione that they're selling you as a Bitcoiner actually is going to turn you into an Ethereum, because your brain ATPase is going to spin less and you're going to become a dumbass.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great way to put it. But you know, I guess in a sense, like full thesis, right? I mean, your thesis is more along the lines, like, get more sunlight, be up when the sun rises and sun sets. Why don't you kind of, I guess, go through some of the things that an everyday person, you know, essentially kind of, I guess, does to damage themselves. And then, you know, you did mention like the carnivore and some of the other diets. I'm curious kind of your perspective on, you know, maybe some of these more, I guess we'll call them like fad diets, in a sense, on, you know, how that kind of can affect, you know, your overall health as well.
Well, let's talk again. Let's bring it back to the science. Let's talk about the clock mechanism. clock mechanism is controlled by three fundamental things. These are fundamental things that even NASA looks for, you know, extraterrestrial life on other planets. That's light, water, and magnetism. The interesting thing is the clocks, the molecular clocks in us, both the peripheral clocks and the one I mentioned before in your eye, the suprachiasmatic nucleus, they operate on light and temperature. So when you understand that, the next question you jumped into was diets. Here's the big problem with diets, especially for most Bitcoiners who are not science-based. They believe science is about proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. That's how most of it is sold, you know, through the people that you see both in the Bitcoin community and out there. And it turns out that's not the case. There's no carbohydrate, fat, or protein transponder that is the input for mitochondria. It's called electron chain transport. So that's problem number one. So you need to understand that basically what food is an electromagnetic barcode of where the planet is in relation to the sun. That brings in the issues that we just mentioned before about light, water, magnetism. How does the magnetism play into this? This should be really easy for you to get at a very simple level, because I'm not diving deep here on this podcast. You know that plant life doesn't really go good in the desert. Deserts have poor magnetic flux, just like Mars. Mars is a dead red planet. So those areas on Earth are called geopathic stress zones. So things don't grow there. So the photosynthetic yield of plants in that area are radically different. And if you really look into it, we have three different forms of photosynthesis on Earth, C3, C4, and CAM. CAM tends to be the one that's used in deserts. The bottom line is the way diet is supposed to work, the light and the temperature from the environment that you're currently in decipher what can grow and what can't grow. So if you happen to eat something that's not based on the latitude you live in, what do you create? You create molecular chaos in your body that ruins the clock timing mechanism. So if you think about it, it's in Bitcoin, it's almost kind of like somebody screwing with the time stamping or, you know, the Byzantine general issue that we talk about. It's like an attack on the Bitcoin network. And molecular chaos has another name, you know, in cells. It's called inflammation. And inflammation generally carries a positive charge in cells. That's not true in Bitcoin. But the redox power in a cell is a negative charge. Now, Bitcoin does use that. It uses electricity, which is predominantly a net negative charge that drives, you know, its proof of work mechanism. So there is a lot of very similar links. And everything in nature uses photosynthesis, like the entire food web. Like, as you said, fad diets are ideas by modern humans that have taken the diet context out of the environment and out of the circadian biology, and then they sell it, you know, as an idea. So, for example, some of the Bitcoiners that you probably know that are big into this, Safety and Amos, Sean Baker, Paul Saladino, they all have different takes and different ideas about what really works. The problem is none of them really have the biophysics down of actually how this clock mechanism works. Therefore, some of the things that they tell you are half-truths. It's the same thing that we saw, you know, in the last couple of years in the Bitcoin community with SBF, you know, with the rehypothecation of Bitcoin. Everybody, you know, for 3, 4, 5 years thought SBF was a great guy and he was doing all these good things. But there was people out there that were warning some of the things that were going on behind the scenes were not wise. And we all saw collectively how that blew up the last 2 years, you know, and now he's going to jail for a long time. And I feel the same way about some of the guys that are in the Bitcoin community who have been elevated to, I guess, guru status based on the diet side of things. And I think when you fundamentally understand what I'm saying is that photosynthesis is really controlled by those three things. So, for example, if you live in Boston and you eat a banana on December 31st, no bananas can grow there. So even though a banana is sold, you know, in Whole Foods there, that doesn't mean you should eat it. See, that's an impossibility in terms of how circadian biology goes. And when you do that, it actually creates inflammation. When I said that at the PaleoFX conference 14 years ago, people actually laughed at me. And now the research has backed me up 100% that that in fact happens. So for example, take a look at you right now. You're in your house under blue light, that, and you got the windows closed. Where I am right now is in my house in El Salvador, and I'll turn this around so you can see it. Notice how there's no walls in my house. So technically, inside my house, I've brought the outside in, even though you and I are using technology. So you characterized me earlier saying that I'm an anti-tech guy. I'm actually not anti-tech. I'm actually anti-tech when it involves ruining our clock mechanism, you know, that nature put in us. So I think the more tech abuse you have, the more circadian biology wise you have to be. So the analogy I like to use, I want you to think about the idea that you probably have in your head about the Titanic. People who don't use much of the cues that I talk about are like the people that stayed on the boat and listened to the music instead of jumping in the cold water to get in the boat to save their life. And I think when you have that perspective and you understand it from that way, it's okay for you to do a podcast under blue light as long as 80% of the time you're seeing the sunrise, or you're coming to El Salvador to Bitcoin Adopt conference, or you're living outside and embracing the cold. Those things I don't have a problem with. And, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, the carnivore, paleo, and functional medicine gurus that we mentioned earlier do and say that I have zero problems with. It seems like most of the people want to focus in on the shit where I go fucking nuclear on them because they're wrong. And my job, much like Bitcoiners, you know that Bitcoin maxis, you know, they tend to go nuts when shitcoiners come in the room. Why? Because we know that proof of stake is a huge problem. It's not the most thermodynamic efficient network. And, you know, I just came back from a conference in Lisbon where I got into it with somebody who was using a little bit of Ethereum to run a business on an internet freedom platform. And I said, look, this is just totally incongruent. And there's people in that community that are actually working to fix that problem. But the person I was talking with didn't fundamentally understand some of the things that I'm trying to explain to you right now, that there is no replacement for proof of work. So if you take that idea in Bitcoin, what would be the correlate in mitochondrial biology? That's the sunrise and the sunset. Like, there is no replacement. Like, you want to think about Pareto's principle? You want to be outside as much as possible. So again, just take a look at the 13th latitude, what you see. You can see there's some doors back over there. The person that you interacted with was my nurse. She's actually changing all the light bulbs out in my house right now to infrared A lights. And those are all up here. If you take a look at that ceiling is suspended by these two beams that you can see right over my shoulder here. There's grass on there. So I can go up there and ground every day. To my right, this way right here, that's the Pacific Ocean. Okay? That way is the San Salvador volcanoes. All those areas right there, take a look again. No cell towers, no nothing. This is in the middle of a nature's preserve. The blue light at night is minimized. And obviously, this house I just bought probably 2 months ago. It's in the process of being circadian friendly. Now, the design of the house is completely decentralized. It's radically different, you know, than the houses that we have in the United States. And to be quite frank with you, even on my best day, if I sat down with an architect, I don't think I could have come up with some of the ideas that are in this house. That's how, you know, special the house is. And I was fortunate to get the house because the architect that built it won a Pritzker Award, which is like the Nobel Prize for architecture. She's the best architect in El Salvador. Her name is Eva Hines. And I'm trying to work with Eva and the Bukele administration so that she can build the first decentralized hospital that's built on the principles that she built this house with. So that should interest you further, because what the Bukele administration is all interested in. It's not the first step they took 3 years ago with Jack Ma is doing the Bitcoin law. That was one thing. That gives us freedom and money. What the next step is the Bukele administration wants to do freedom in medicine, which is why I'm interacting with them. The next thing that they're going to do after that probably would interest you tremendously, but it's going to be internet freedom. So you know that he's been characterized as a despot and a dictator. It's really hard to call somebody a dictator when they're returning freedom back to the people. I would actually say that the president, the last several presidents in our country have been more dictators than Bukele has. And that's part of the reason why I actually sat down with Bobby Kennedy, because some of the things I'm working with the Bukele administration on, I shared with Bobby one-on-one. And I asked him straight up, do you think this is something that could be part of your platform? And he was very frank with me. He said, what you're working on with Bukele, he goes, we could never pass in the United States. And that should make all Bitcoiners really happy. Why? Because all of you know that Bobby Kennedy is a Bitcoiner, okay? That's one of the first things he changed. And you heard in the podcast I did with him, he talked about internet freedom with the Canadian truckers. That's really how he got interested in it. And I think all Bitcoiners, true Bitcoiners anyway, know that that story resonates with all of us in a big way. But I think there's a bigger part of the story here that in order to be totally sovereign, you also have to be sovereign with your health. You should not rely on any centralized system in order, you know, to gain itself. And I think the other thing, the way I look at least El Salvador, where you just were, I think this place is an ark. And I think the Bukele administration is looking for certain animals to come here to be on that ark. Now, this country is not for everybody. This is not for shitcoiners. This is not for people that are interested in a B, C, or a D. This is for people that are interested in straight A's. This is a country that's interested in being artisanal. In other words, in the United States, our mindset is to be more like Walmart or Amazon. Like, we have shit for everything, and it's very, very centralized. This place doesn't want to do that. In fact, one of the things that Bukele's really interested in is taking some of the manufacturers in the United States that were just taken to the woodshed by Obama, Trump, and Biden for incandescent bulbs, and he wants to make incandescent bulbs here so he can sell them to the rest of the world. So just so you know, some of the lights that are here, I explained to him when I talked to him that the lights are not available in El Salvador. I just brought those lights back in with me, and I'm showing him those lights. I'm showing him the spectroscope. I'm showing him the difference. I'm showing how it changes, you know, glucose readings on a glucose monitor. And like, those things matter. Why? Because his people and the people that are going to come here, he's not only giving them freedom so they can live, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness with their money, but let's face it, Brandon, just think about it like this. What good is having $9 billion in Bitcoin, like, you know, I don't know, let's say Steve Jobs, when you're dead at 56 years old? You know, to me, that's the ultimate fail. But, you know, a lot of kids in your generation think that, you know, he was a real big success. I'm going to tell you, I think on the tech side, I'll give you that. But on my side, remember, me the boomer, Bitcoiner, me the outlier, I think he's a fucking epic fail. Because there's nothing. If you're not good enough for yourself, who are you good for? What does it make a sense, you know, that you own Bitcoin? I've actually made this case to several big Bitcoiners, several OG Bitcoiners. I think most people now know that, you know, my good friends are Jack Dorsey and Rick Rubin. They own a shit ton of Bitcoin. And the big issue there, you need to be decentralized in everything you do. And if you just dip your toe in the water, I don't think that you're directionally accurate. And this gets back to, you know, the original point, to put a bow on this idea. This is the reason why I have problems with some of the diet gurus that, you know, have try to take up real estate with Bitcoiners. I just want Bitcoiners to know that there's a better way out there. And it doesn't take too much of a template change to fully decentralize your biology. That's really my goal, you know, and I think my legacy when I'm dead in the ground here in El Salvador, is that people will say, he just tried to get us to do things in biology so that we could live as long as we can, so we could enjoy the Bitcoin. I think that's really, you know, the main thing. And to understand my perspective, yeah, unfortunately, you do have to know a little bit of quantum physics. You have to know a little bit of light, water, and magnetism. But it doesn't take too much. And I mean, you know, when you read about Bitcoin, not everybody realizes that Bitcoin is a time machine. Fundamentally, at its core, you know, especially if you read some of the popular books that we all, you know, read and espouse to our readership. But that's okay. You don't have to understand Bitcoin from that way. But that's how I came to Bitcoin. The reason I adopted Bitcoin is because I understand it thermodynamically, because that's what a mitochondria is. And I said, anything that's decentralized, in my view, is good. And when I realized that Bitcoin was fully decentralized, dude, I went all in. I didn't go a little bit in. I went all in.
Yeah, and that's great. And I want to dive into a little bit more about what you talked about with the sunrise and sunset. Obviously, you know, I'm sitting here. You mentioned I'm under blue light with the window closed. It's about 5:30 here in Tampa, Florida, and it's been a rainy day. So it's been, you know, raining from basically the moment I got up this morning around like 6:30, and then you know
you still get light through the clouds, right? I want you to know.
Yeah, that. I do. So I was going to ask you about that, because that's where I'm curious, because obviously, you know, a city like Seattle, right? I mean, that is a prime example. Number one, you know, suicide rate in the United States, obviously known for being very cloudy and very dark. So, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, in the numbers here, so to speak. But, you know, on some of these off days, you know, when it is kind of, I guess, you know, rainy in a sense, you know, obviously the human tendency now with, you know, being inside underneath a roof with lights, you know, if somebody doesn't have, I guess, quite the access that you do with this, you know, beautiful home that you're building there in El Salvador, what's another solution to kind of, I guess, avoid the blue lights in this kind of scenario? Is it just almost a,
I would tell you there's lots of different things to do. The first thing I would tell you to do is probably understand that you have to protect your eyes and your skin. So this is when the story flips. I usually want people naked out in the sun to get it. So when you're inside in the blue light, like how you're dressed right now, that's good. The only thing you're missing is blue blocking glasses. And unfortunately, I don't have mine here. They're in my bedroom, but you can get the blue blocking glasses. In fact, I gave all of Bukele's administration blue blocking glasses about 4 weeks ago. And I explained to them exactly how they work. They protect your eye clock so that you don't get, you know, the problems of circadian burnout from a loss of melatonin in your mitochondria. So that's the easy thing. Then the next thing you can do is you can put either Efflux or Iris on your computer. Efflux, you know, is free, but Iris software is better because it blocks the blue light and it blocks flicker. So that's something like you can put right on the bottom of your computer, set it so that it's tied to Eastern time zone. And then what'll happen, it'll slowly make your screen red over time. Again, let me see if I have my phone. I think I can show this to you. So there's a hack even on the phone. Now I have an old iPhone. So you can see the color right there. So if I triple click it and I hit color filters, look at the color. That's actually what Efflux and Iris do to my computer at night. So you can go on YouTube through the accessories module on your phone and do that. Like the stuff that Apple has put out to reduce the blue light, it's not good enough. And the way you know that is if you had a spectroscope. So like when I went to sit down with the president and talk to him, I showed him with the spectroscope, this isn't good enough. And I want you kids to know the same thing, that it's not good enough. I want you to protect yourself so that you can spend your Bitcoin, you know, that you wisely have bought. And I think those are probably the big things around light you can do. The other thing I would tell you is, just because you brought it up and it's a great point, when it's raining out, I want you can sit in your house, but turn the lights off, open the window so the light comes in. The crazy thing is the way light works, you just need a crack in the window because of Einstein's photoelectric effect. And guess what? Your eye clock, which is the SEM, can actually tell time of where you're at. That's all it takes. You can do that in your car. Like, say when it's blistering hot in Tampa, all you have to do is you can keep the cold on, but just crack the window or crack your moonroof to allow some of the light in, and you'll be doing yourself a benefit. And then we haven't talked too much about temperature, but I did a podcast recently, if you're interested in looking at it, where I talked a lot about the temperature effect. Why? Because since you're a low latitude guy in Tampa, you're about 25 latitude. The guys that I spoke with, his kid's name is Owen Sheesby, who's young, and he lives at high latitude, 52 latitude. And I explained to him that embracing the cold is actually a benefit. When I did the podcast with Rick Rubin and Huberman in Tetragrammaton 1 and 2, I explained to people that when you embrace cold, you actually create UV light and infrared A light inside your cells to actually run the biologic programs that we're talking about, you know, here today. You can actually offset the light you're not getting from the environment if you embrace cold temperatures. And, you know, a lot of people in Tampa, like when you get next month and say you have a couple of days where it gets down to like 30 degrees, you're going to see, you know, old women walking around with down jackets in Tampa, which is crazy. You know, you don't see animals, wild animals, not in a zoo, do that stuff. So why are we doing it? Because of social convention. And it turns out, you know, social convention is not correct. I mean, in the Bitcoin community, social convention right now is fiat money and probably shit coins. Well, we don't do that. We know not to do that because it's not decentralized. We know what the implications of embracing shit coinery and fiat money is. I mean, effectively, fiat money is the number one shit coin in the world. So I want people to think about their biology exactly the same way we think about Bitcoin and Bitcoin community. Why? Because they are decentralized. It just happens to be nature's the natural way of doing it. Bitcoin is like the time machine algorithm that does it via technology, but they operate on the same principles. And to me, that's, you know, the information I want people to understand.
Yeah. And I mean, all that is great. And I really appreciate that. But, you know, you've been kind of stressing the decentralization of medicine, which I think is, you know, awesome what you're doing. And a lot of the stuff, you know, really resonates with me. And obviously, you know, we just had the COVID-19 pandemic, right? I mean, and the narrative around America, especially in the Bitcoin community, is that, you know, obviously the pharmaceutical companies were the ones that were able to extremely profit off of it. You know, everybody was very worried about getting, you know, the jab one, jab two, and so on, so forth. And, you know, Bukele is kind of taking a different route with that. So in a sense, for somebody who, you know, obviously has been in this field for quite some time and has, I guess, differing views from his peers who I kind of, I guess, you know, in a sense, almost have not been able to, or, you know, haven't gone the alternative path because, you know, essentially these pharmaceutical companies are helping fill their pockets. Right. So how refreshing is that, one, just kind of speaking with Bukele and a leader like that? And then two, you know, obviously, you sat down with Robert Kennedy Jr. about this same topic, and it seems like the U.S. is very far away from that. So I kind of want you to dive in into the and compare and contrast like your experiences in working with the El Salvadorian government and then, you know, potential, obviously, presidential candidate in Robert.
I would tell you, I mean, here's the interesting paradox. You know, in politics that people tend to get punished for their ideology and people look at it like you're not allowed to change. The president in El Salvador looked to his health ministry, you know, for the best evidence out there. And unfortunately, the doctors in El Salvador didn't do as good a job as they should have done for the president. Because remember, he's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. He was looking on his advisors, and he realized probably 6 or 7 months into the pandemic that things were going off the rails and he had nobody, you know, there to rely on. So what did he start to do? He started to deconstruct his initial opinions. He said, we're going to stop doing this. Why? Because he paid attention to the data from his own country. And when I sat down and talked with him, he goes, look, He goes, I realized that this was a mistake. So what is he doing? He's doing exactly what evolution does. He's adapting fast, you know, to that mistake. The flip side of that is the United States, we're not doing that. Okay. We still have not recalled the jabs. We still have not, you know, sat down and talked about, you know, PlasmaGate and the SV40 issue that's now developed. Those are all the things that I sat down and talked to Bobby about. And, you know, there was a lot of conversations that I had with Bobby before the podcast, like things that you probably wouldn't be privy to. And some of the ideas, you know, that I've shared with the government in power in El Salvador that I thought would be good ideas for Bobby Kennedy. And you did hear one of the things that Bobby Kennedy wants to do is he believes that the best set of events for the United States right now is to unleash PI attorneys, guys like Tom Rentz. And I don't know if you know who he is, but you can look him up. He's a guy that is a guy from Ohio who is really going after Big Pharma. He's got a lot of data out there that is going to be problematic. But the real big issue is Tom understands that Big Pharma didn't distribute these jabs. This was the Department of Defense, the Pentagon. You know, and that was kind of like the story that I unleashed with Bobby in the podcast. And I don't think people realize this is one of the problems I have with Bobby's idea. Suing the Department of Defense and the Pentagon for viral contamination is an epic waste of fucking time. And it's, to me, just boilerplate stuff that you have to talk about. But let's talk about this a little bit. It doesn't mean that I don't think that Bobby is a well-intentioned guy. Not at all. I think that the thing I understand is some of the things that Bukele probably will be able to do that Bobby Kennedy, Trump, or Biden couldn't do is because regulatory systems in the United States are captured fully. And in fact, Bobby Kennedy made a comment to me that I think is instructive for you here. He didn't talk about it on the podcast, but he said, if you brought some of your ideas to the table that you shared with me, he goes, I don't even think Ron DeSantis in the state of Florida, and the reason I'm bringing this up to you, because you're in Tampa, you probably don't know this, but I also live in Florida as well. I've got a place there. I think what DeSantis did for taxpayers in Florida was beyond epic. You know, he was probably the leading governor, in my opinion, in the United States that did the COVID response right, because he went after the federal government's response. But Bobby saying what he said to me, that not even DeSantis could put or implement some of the changes that I want to bring to the table, tells you that the centralized system in the United States is a problem. Now, Brandon, I don't know how much history you know, but I would hope young Bitcoiners would listen to your podcast, because I'm going to give you an admonition of something you need to understand. Benjamin Rush, who Rush Medical School in Chicago is named after, most young people your age that own Bitcoin don't even know who he is. You don't know he signed the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. But guess what? He petitioned John Adams and Thomas Jefferson to put medical tyranny into the U.S. Constitution. And the reason it didn't get put in is because Thomas Jefferson and John Adams did not see a potential area of attack. Now, you know, as a Bitcoiner, we always sit down and talk about potential areas of attack, you know, for the Bitcoin community and the Bitcoin algorithm and things like that. So Thomas Jefferson looked like he was a rocket scientist all the way up until 1982 when Reagan put Fauci in. And for those of you who haven't read RFK's book, it's an epic takedown from Fauci's time and the Fort Detrick bioweapon program all the way to 2023. What did I do with Bobby? I actually explained to him everything that happened prior to Fort Detrick that he wasn't, you know, in the loop on. And I explained to him my perspective, why I don't think we can turn it over to personal injury attorneys, why we have to have medical freedom laws changed, is because, and this is a cliche that I know you've heard, that if you don't understand history, you're doomed to repeat it. So what did I tell my members 3 years ago? I told them, do not take this jab, because I have a funny feeling that what happened in the Qatar 1 event with the polio vaccines is going to show up in the messenger RNA vaccines. And that was a really controversial point, Brandon, up until about 4 weeks ago. And when a guy on Twitter, who I really respect, named Kevin McKiernan, actually decided to test, you know, the vaccines and found that they had DNA plasmids and also the SV40 promoter in it, I just went like this. And believe it or not, at the Bobby Kennedy Rubin podcast, Bobby wasn't aware that this actually had been found to be true. And that was the reason I really wanted to do the podcast with, to be quite frank with you. I mean, most people think Rick set this up. You guys would be wrong. I'm the one that asked Rick to host the podcast. Why? Because I knew Bobby Kennedy was the black sheep of the Kennedy family. I'm the black sheep of centralized medicine. And Rick is the black sheep of music, who's become a cultural icon that both the left and the right won't cancel. So I knew that this discussion would get out on the internet for everybody to hear, not only the boomers, but also you young guys, because I think it's really important for you to understand to have full sovereignty in medicine. We have to have medical freedom laws. I don't think giving PI attorneys, you know, carte blanche to go to the woodshed makes sense. We did that with asbestos and it really hasn't done shit. We did that with tobacco. It really hasn't done shit. I'm looking for real change in the world because I think centralized medicine has a huge problem. And this is one of the big problems. Why? There's many facts that are masquerading as truths in centralized medicine that are not true. I mean, the same thing I would tell you is what, you know, SBF and his band of merry nut jobs try to sell to the Bitcoin community for the last 3 or 4 years. Brian Armstrong is doing the same thing right now. The guys from Andreessen Horowitz are doing the same thing right now. We need to call that bullshit out. We need freedom laws in medicine to stop this. Now, in Bitcoin, who are the medical freedom laws? Like, what's the mimic? I think that's what a Bitcoin maxi is. You know, that's what a guy like American HODL is. I think that's what a guy like Max Kaiser is. You know, they're not, you know, they're not your be all end all. I don't want anybody to think that I'm giving my stamp of approval for everything they do or say. But the point is, they're like freedom of the press. They're actually giving a feedback loop so that we stay on point, so that we can keep the shit corners in place. And what I'm saying to you, Brandon, is my opinion. I don't believe that I can keep the shit cornery in centralized medicine in place without medical freedom laws. I think Benjamin Rush had it right 250 years ago. And my goal for all of 24 and all of 25 is to push hard to change that, because I think once that changes, even in one country, then I think the apathy and the nihilism that's present in young Bitcoiners may change. And if that can go down as my legacy, you know, to the Bitcoin community, I will tell you, I'd be very happy with that stamped on my tombstone.
Yeah, and that's a great mission. But I mean, I guess a follow up on that. Do you just think the U.S. is, I guess, too far gone in a sense, like too far down the fiat rabbit hole in order to kind of, I guess, make its way back?
No, I think this is where you, a guy like you, comes in. I actually think this is a guy where safety comes in. I think it's a guy, you know, where just that Joe, random Joe Q public guy that owns 0.50 of Bitcoin in Kansas, you realize that you're the CEO of you. And you get to choose what a Dr. Kenny can't do for you. In other words, you know, like one of my friends on Clubhouse, who's an OG Bitcoiner, is Jason Williams. And, you know, Jason Williams has a lot of biologic beliefs that I totally don't agree with. But the one thing I can tell you about Jason that I know, he knows how to separate the wheat from the chaff about what's bullshit and what's not bullshit. And I guess what I'm telling you, Brandon, guys like me, what can I do, since most young Bitcoiners make fun of boomers? One thing that I can tell you, I've lived through the bullshit in biology, and I can actually give you the history lesson that you don't know so that you understand why medical freedom laws are really important. See, you guys are really fortunate because you're living in a time where you now have medical freedom laws, I should say financial freedom laws in Bitcoin. And in fact, the country that I'm in right now and the country you were just in has given that to their people. Eventually, my opinion is Americans that own Bitcoin actually have given it to themselves as the CEO of them. So I guess what I'm saying to you is if you learn how to reject the centralized bullshit that you get from functional medicine, from the diet gurus, from, you know, the people in the industrial healthcare complex, it doesn't matter what they sling at you. Why? Because the thing that separates you from everybody else, you're decentralizing the way you think. So like people always ask me, Jack, what kind of guru really do you think you are? I said, I'm a guru that teaches people how to think, and I teach you information, and I give you history lessons, and I connect the dots, and I'm really good at doing that. And I think I tell everybody, just like I'm going to tell you here, I don't want you to believe a goddamn thing Uncle Jack told you today, but I want you to fact check. And when you fact check me, you'll find out that I'm working on behalf of my patients, not the behalf of my hospital, the insurance company, the medical board, you know, or big pharma. I work for my patients. And when I don't know something, I am invested in finding out what that answer is. And I tell you, and what happens, Brandon, in that interaction, we have informed consent. In other words, you may say, Jack, well, I just don't believe this. I want to eat the carnivore diet, but I'm going to take statins just in case. I'm not going to have a problem if you do something like that. You know, or if you say, well, I want to get really big muscles like Sean Baker does or Peter Attia. But no, I don't want to understand why that's a bad idea because of Doug Wallace's idea with heteroplasmy, especially in a blue gym. I'm not going to say to Brandon, Brandon, I'm not going to take care of you as a patient. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you informed consent. I'm going to say, this is what, you know, Baker believes. This is what Attia believes. This is what nature does. This is where I think you need to think. And then ultimately, my job for you is to be the sounding board where you can come back to me and say, Jack, can I ask you a follow-up question about this? Can I ask you a question about this? And to be quite frank with you, the reason I'm going through this exercise with you and answering this for you, that's exactly what Rick Rubin does with me. Okay? He's got a bunch of these guys, some of the guys that we've actually talked about on your podcast that are in his stable. And what does he do? He bounces these ideas off people because he fundamentally wants to see how they think about things. And Rick has his own belief paradigm. I think you'll hear when part three of the Tetragrammaton podcast comes out, the implications where I do it with me, him, and a new guy because Huberman was not available because of all the issues he's having with Stanford University. And you guys hear what we say. And you hear some of the comments that Rick makes where he says, look, I frankly don't believe anything that's present in centralized medicine because there's no way they could possibly know this stuff based on the way things are studied. And, you know, Rick is the same age I am, and he's come to this completely different way. Remember, he's not a scientist at all. He's a music guy. I'm the scientist. And he always tells me, Jack, I don't want to know the science. He goes, tell me what your belief paradigm is and how you came to it, and then let me think about it. And then he'll go do his research. Then he sends me texts and asks me questions. And to be honest with you, Brandon, it's kind of refreshing to practice, you know, decentralized medicine this way because I think you begin to see that it's a collaboration between the patient and the doctor in a good way. And I think that's kind of how it should work even on, you know, Bitcoin Twitter, but you know, it doesn't. The maxis believe they have to do what they have to do. Why? Because they're sick and tired of the bullshit that goes on there. And I actually understand that. I have probably a little bit different tact is, you know, like, for example, the things that I tried to do recently with the SV40 story, the day that it broke that I was going out to meet with Bobby Kennedy to talk about this issue, immediately the centralized science guy started to work on the SV40 Wikipedia page to change it so that you guys, young guys, would never know that SV40 is not supposed to be in the human genome. They're trying to make it like, oh, it is because it's used in molecular biology. So you got to ask yourself, okay, why would they do something like that? And then the guy that confirmed Kevin McKiernan's findings, his name is Philip Buchholz from the University of South Carolina, who's a very good virologist, but you'll find out he's a very centralized medicine guy. So he's a shit coiner for science. His ideas around informed consent that you and I just talked about, he doesn't believe that this discussion should ever happen between the patients. So you can imagine the interactions between me and him on Twitter, what they were like. And literally in 2 days, he actually blocked me. So why do I highlight that for you on your podcast? Because I want you to know that I think via negativity, subtracting people who you know are a problem is an important part of the story. And I don't have a problem with Philip blocking me, but I do have a duty to guys like you or young Bitcoiners for you to know the full story behind SV40, for you to know the full story why Uncle Jack was so adamant about what I was saying about COVID and why I'm so adamant about what I believe around decentralized medicine, decentralized networks. I think once you parse and do your due diligence, then I think you can make a judgment whether I'm a fucking wackadoodle or am I working on your behalf.
No, and I like that. And I think that's, you know, completely part of the Bitcoin ethos, right? It's like, don't trust, verify. But we've gotten to this point in the United States where it's like the doctor's word is gold. Like you need to follow every single detail that a doctor does, or at least that's kind of, you know, just the general consensus I get from non-Bitcoiners where, you know, I do think it is refreshing to kind of have that back and forth, right? I mean, I think everybody can kind of tell, you know, how things make them feel. And I think that's how, you know, you can kind of decide what works and what doesn't for you. And I like that you're kind of working on that relationship between the patient and the doctor, where I think we've gotten completely away from. And I think that it might be almost like a pride thing, so to speak, from doctors where it's, you know, they've gone through all these.
Well, it's actually not a pride thing. I'm going to tell you, I don't want you to think that I'm throwing doctors under the bus. I'm going to tell you really what the central problem is, if you want to hear it very quickly. When I first came out 30 years ago in neurosurgery, 98% of doctors work for themselves. I've always worked for myself my whole life. Today, 99% of doctors are employed by hospital systems. So guess what? Their boss is the centralized healthcare entity, and they tell them what to do. And that doctor has to follow the rules, because if they don't follow the rules, they don't get a paycheck. The problem is you guys as the public don't realize that. So let me take it even further back. I did a podcast recently, probably last month, that you may be interested in, or your readers may be interested in listening to. It's a guy named Dr. Ted Ochozo and me. He's a neuroradiologist and I'm a neurosurgeon. And we talked about M&M conference. What is M&M conference? It's morbidity and mortality. That's when actually doctors who make decisions have to go up in front of a group of their peers, and the group of the peers tear them apart. Now, you, as the public, will never see that happen. But when you're a doctor who's formative or a medical student, you go to these conferences and you see what happens. Dude, this is steel sharpening steel. But guess what? That's effectively kind of how I do podcasts now. I go after people like Peter Addy and Sean Baker and Paul Saladino. Why? Because I've brought the mentality of M&M conference to podcasts. And I think the Maxis have brought that mentality to Bitcoin Twitter. And the reason that I get behind it, even though I know some of them really are toxic in some of the things they do, I think the net positive is better. Why? Because it gets people thinking, you know, on their feet. And I don't, there's a lot of good doctors that are locked in this bad paradigm. You know, kind of like it is in Bitcoin. Think about it. There's a lot of good people that are locked up in the fiat system. You know, they don't know how to escape it. And we all know as Bitcoiners that really just owning Bitcoin and doing self-custody is, you know, an opt-out. It's an insurance policy against fiat demise. The problem is centralized medicine doesn't have that issue. And I'm hoping to change that, you know, in a place like El Salvador.
Yeah, and I appreciate all that. And yeah, thanks for the background and everything like that. But before I let you go, I know that you, you know, part of your thesis is on cold thermogenesis. And we've kind of talked about the fad, I guess, around diets. It seems like the new fad is the cold plunge of people kind of just, you know, obviously immersing themselves in ice cold water. So I kind of want to dive into that and see, like, one, like, look, is the cold plunge, is it all full of shit, or is it like actually
no, for real? Real. Just so you know, the guy that I think gets a lot of credit for this is Wim Hof, but Wim Hof wasn't writing about the science of cold when I started. I started doing this 20 years ago. And just so you know, where it crashed into centralized medicine was in 2008 when cold sculpting for the plastic surgeons got a patent. What you need to know, and this is really kind of the big news that I broke with Rick and Huberman on Tetragrammaton 1 and 2, what does cold thermogenesis functionally do? It allows you to make light frequencies that are stronger than the sun through mitochondrial biology. And it turns out, when you think about that, that means that mitochondrial metabolism creates biophotons. So when you go in cold water, in other words, you're acting like a polar bear or a great white shark, even when your environment sucks, like you said today, your environment in Tampa sucks. If you went outside in that rain and had nothing on but a Kaniki, you would actually get a huge benefit. Why? Because you're still getting the red light from the sun through the clouds, but you're also the temperature change, and hopefully there's some wind in Tampa, and you get, you know, that cooling effect. I'm 100% behind that. Even in Tampa, you know, I know that the water right down there now is probably like it is at Destin where I have a place. It's probably around 60, 63, 64 degrees. That's ultimate, you know, great temperature for cold thermogenesis. So going in the cold water has a huge benefit when you're a mammal. Now, the quantum biology around that, I'm not going to sit here and split your head open after talking to you for an hour, but that's where melanin biology comes in. And I would tell, you know, you and your readers, if you're interested in that, you know, join my Patreon. The entire quantum engineering series that I'm in now, I think I'm up to quantum engineering 61, is about that system. It's about actually how light, water, and magnetism runs that system. And for those of you who are interested, I mean, Rick's told me the podcast with me and Huberman is his most downloaded podcast that he's ever done, even more than the ones he's done with music. Why? Because the ideas that I shared there, I never shared any of these ideas with anybody else to tell people really where the idea between my leptin prescription came from or the cold thermogenesis protocol. And the reason for that is when I figured this shit out, I realized it was about solid state physics. It's about the physics of organisms. It's not about what I learned about in biochemistry. And I was under no illusion that centralized medicine 20 years ago wasn't ready for this. But what's happened, Brandon, when you were a young boy and now I'm an older man, Uncle Jack was looked at as really crazy 20 years ago. Uncle Jack now, he's not looked at as crazy at all. In fact, everybody in creation wants to talk to me now. Everybody's really interested in the things that I've been writing. The problem is, in the old days, Brandon could have read about a lot of those things because I published a lot of them right on the internet for free. But I had to protect myself because guess what? State medical boards, DARPA, the FBI, the CIA, NASA, all those people paid visits to me over the last 10, 12, 13 years. They don't want that information out. They don't want it out at all. And my goal is when I do podcasts like this, just like I told you, what you owe me for spending an hour with you is just share the ideas that we talked about today with some of your friends. If you find something in here that resonates with you, do your due diligence. That's all I'm asking you to do. And then when you realize that there may be a lot of truth to it, then jump down the rabbit hole and really learn the science. And I promise you that you'll become a way better Bitcoiner. You'll definitely become somebody who's anti-Steve Jobs, who actually will have $9 billion and will not die at 56 years old.
Yeah, that's all great stuff. And you've been very generous with your time. So you already mentioned your Patreon, but where's other places?
This is the guy that you hooked me up with. Here's Jeremy Franco. He just came back.
Oh, what's up, Jeremy? How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
He just came back from picking up one of my members at the airport, you know, to come down here. So that's the guy that hooked us up, you know, when you're at in El Salvador. So just so you know, he's really here.
Yeah, Jeremy's the best. So if anybody needs a driver in El Salvador, I definitely recommend Jeremy. And I'm going to be sending him his way. I mean, he's awesome, a great Bitcoiner. And yeah, he spoke very highly of you, Dr. Jack. So, I mean, this hour-long conversation has been amazing. So before I let you go, I'll give you a chance here to sign us off and let us know where else they can. I mean, you mentioned your Patreon already, but where else can they find your work? You mentioned a few of the podcasts and things like that. So
I think the easiest place to start is just put my name in a Google box with either a disease or something you're interested in. That's probably the fastest way, because I've written so much, things will pop up and that'll, you know, take you to different places. But I've wrote a book. It's on Amazon. It's called The Epipaleo RX. That covers probably about the first 5 or 6 years of my blog that used to be on my old website. And I think the podcasts are a really good way of doing it. But if you really want to learn before you jump in and pay me the $5 a month for Patreon, I have a form on my current website where it's free. You can go in there and literally search all the different topics, and you'll see it doesn't matter what the topic is, we talk about it. There's even huge threads on there about macroeconomics and Bitcoin. So I cover a lot of different things. But I think the podcasts are probably, your generation loves to listen to stuff like that. And I've done a lot of them. I mean, not a few, a lot. I started doing podcasts before podcasts were even popular. So I would tell you, go that route. And then if you decide that you're really interested in my work, become a member of my website where you'll get access to me. I do Q&As every month for my members, where I usually spend 4 to 6 hours with them answering all their questions, no matter what they, you know, are tied to. And I go around and speak at events. You know, I just came back from a Bitcoin event in Lisbon that I went to actually about medical freedoms and internet freedom, you know, and it has a lot to do with what's going on here in El Salvador. And I think, you know, follow me on social media. My social media handle is the same everywhere. It's Dr. Jack Cruz, whether it be Instagram, LinkedIn. On LinkedIn, I think I have almost 190 free blogs for you to read. Everything's there. It's for you to tap and decide, do you want to become a mitochondriac or do you want to stay as a centralized shitcoiner on the RNA and DNA platform? It's your choice.
Yeah, that's great stuff. So yeah, everybody go check out his work. And yeah, I'm happy. I'm excited to dive into all of it. And yeah, shout out to Jeremy for introducing us. And yeah, Dr. Jack, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, no problem, Brandon. Take care.